And today we arrive on a topic of great interest, spiritual gifts, serving others, serving others, serving others. And we're going to focus on this today and just highlight some key parts about how God has gifted each of us to minister to each other and to serve each other. And I hopefully this will be something that will encourage you, excite you, and help you to realize how important you are. Last week we talked about elders, but elders are not put in God's church to do everything. Elders are not there to be the ones in control of, you know, actually hands-on doing it. They manage. And sometimes that takes time to get that in place. And sometimes we mess up and maybe have our hands in it too much as we're working through all of that. But God didn't give shepherds and pastors to do everything. He gifted his people in every local church, and he provides to the local church his gifted members to do the work of the ministry. And it's really an amazing plan that we're constantly looking at and constantly trying to do as best we can, following God's plan. So today we want to focus on this spiritual gifts, serving others. And as I try to introduce this, I was thinking, you know, I think in a lot of churches, there's a misunderstanding. I think it's mostly just a misunderstanding. Sometimes it's a mistake where churches and the people in the church wait for the church to organize something. They wait for the church to have special ministry events. And sometimes we do that. And there's a misunderstanding where people think, well, I can't do anything. Hey, what's the church doing? Because we didn't have a Thursday night visitation night. We didn't have a Wednesday night show mercy night. We didn't have a Tuesday night go visit the shut-in night. We didn't have a Saturday night walk in the neighborhood and witness night. We didn't have a Sunday afternoon invite unbelievers over to your house day. And so, well, the church isn't doing anything. And I think it's a misunderstanding. Now, why churches may do that kind of thing, that's really not what the scriptures teach. Church is to go on every day, every week, without end, by gifted servants who minister and use their gifts, and they don't wait for a Tuesday night share Jesus night. They don't wait for a, well, our church never has a showing mercy night, so I can't show mercy. Well, our church never has an official gathering on a Thursday night where, you know, we actually go out and serve elderly people who can't wash their car or who can't mow their grass or rake their leaves. I think that misunderstanding is entering the church, and we're going to find out today that that's not how it works, though a church may organize an event, and those things sometimes can be very beneficial. And so we're going to look at the church today and how God gives us each a gift, and some of us several gifts, to be used. And one of the marks of a very successful church in God's eyes is where every member is an active servant, not waiting for a Tuesday night, a Wednesday night like we shared, but saying, this is what I love to do. This is what God has gifted me to do, and I'm going to do it every day, every week, without end. And it's a wonderful plan. And I think sometimes people think, well, maybe I can't do that because I didn't go and check with the preachers. Now, if you want to start like a study where you're teaching, it's good to check with us, you know, because we want to make sure if you want the church to put it in the bulletin and for us to say, hey, we're behind this, that's a good thing. That's just wisdom, right? But you don't have to wait to invite ladies over to your house to encourage them. You don't have to wait for the church to, you know, to go over and gather a bunch of believers or your community group together and, hey, we're going to go out and minister here and there. And I hope today we'll leave saying, wow, God wants to use me. I can use my gift. I can just go out and take care of business and just serve God. And that's a successful church. God's children using their gifts. Have you ever heard this phrase? Well, what you don't know won't hurt you. We heard that, right? You know, well, what you don't know just won't hurt you at all. Well, if you look in 1 Corinthians 12:1, Paul starts out and says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed or ignorant. Well, right away, Paul just shoots that down, doesn't he? He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. What you don't know just might hurt you. And so today, I want us to leave saying, I know. And I want to be an active part. I want to be a servant. I want to be used of God. So a misunderstanding or an ignorance is not really good. It'll hurt the church. And so we want to throw this out today. So if you have a sermon outline, there's a lot of fill in the blanks, all right? That's two purposes. Because I have stock in a pen company. No. But just to help you stay engaged, and you know, and all the answers will be up here. So, and if I miss one, just raise your hand. But so we just want to go through this and systematically lay it out. I think you'll be encouraged, especially when we get to the last part. We kind of make it very practical. So let's start at the very beginning, which is a very good place to start, right? Grace gifts explained. Let's explain them. And I love calling it grace gifts because that means it is a gift of grace that God gives to us. Here's a definition we're going to work with, which I don't think I put on your paper, but and it's not on the screen. But spiritual gifts are abilities given by the Holy Spirit at salvation through God's grace for serving others in God's power and for God's glory every day, every week, without end. Now, listen, we have those weeks, don't we? And I appreciate so much Amanda sharing that. That's not easy. I appreciate that. All of us have those weeks, don't we? But our goal and our purpose is, and there's sometimes when we got to have those times of refreshing, those times where we're really just dealing with things with God. And that's when we need other people's gifts to come in for us. See how it works? It's a beautiful plan. God never does anything bad or second class. It's really a beautiful plan. So God-given abilities given to us at salvation for the purpose of loving and serving others every day, every week, without end. So let's break it down in 1 Corinthians 12 with some key words. The first key word is spirituals, okay? And let's look at verse number one. Now concerning spiritual gifts. The Greek is pneumatikos, which is plural. It's a plural word, spirituals. In other words, gifts are related to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit himself is very tied very closely into the giving of your gift. It is a spiritual thing. It is spiritual in nature that is given to your inner man, which is displayed by your outer man. So grab this. It is a spiritual thing that God gives you inside your born-again person, but is played out or used by your hands, by your feet, with your mouth, with your mind, with your actions, along with the proper motives in your spiritual man, which will that'll come up here in just a little bit. They are not natural abilities. However, I personally believe that spiritual gifts many times enhance the natural things God gave you at birth. But they are not just natural abilities, because being spiritual means that God's power goes along with it. And nobody in their natural ability can bring down God's power. That's just bugging. Is that blurry to you? Oh, leave it alone then.
You want me to clean your glasses?
Yeah, maybe that's it. I have, yeah, smoke from last night. I better explain the bonfire.
Yeah, that's right.
better explain that one. Yeah, all right. Because, oh, that was funny. Okay. Second key word in 1 Corinthians 12 is the word gifts. Look in verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts. The Greek word is charisma, which comes from the word charis, which is the word grace. So we know that it's spiritual in nature, and these are gifts. They are charisma. They are charis. They are grace. Grace is simply the word which has a lot of different nuances to it. But it is a gift, as the word says. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. There is no reward. God doesn't give you a reward of a gift because you're closer to God than somebody else. It is a gift. It is an absolute gift. You don't get to a higher spiritual level up here and suddenly God zaps another gift to you. The Bible doesn't teach that because it's not based on what you did. It is simply a gift. In fact, it's interesting, the book of Corinthians that we're in here today was written to a church of believers who were selfish, who were in disharmony. They were rotten. They turned the Lord's Supper into a big party fest, which was displayed in selfishness. And in 1 Corinthians 1:7, he told these people, you are not lacking in any gift. So it has nothing to do with, wow, you got a lot of money. Wow, you're really talented. Wow, you're up here spiritually. You pray more than anybody else. I'll give you more gifts. No. It is grace gifts, charis. The third key word in verse 5 is the word service. If you have a King James, you might see the word administrations there. But notice verse 5, and there are varieties of service. The Greek word is diakonia, which is the word servant. It is a waiter, it is attendant. And as we talk about spiritual gifts, this number 3 is really a key word. It is actually serving. I worked with a guy once who was a retired state trooper from New York. And I said something to him one day, is because our job was to serve the people on the planes. We served the pilots, we served the owners, we served the passengers. That's just what we did all day. And I remember saying to Bud, was his name, "You know, Bud, we're just servants." He said, I won't say every word he used, "I'm not a servant to anybody." And that's a lot of people's attitudes. But when we talk about gifts from God, this is a key word. There are varieties of diakonia, service. We are to serve others. What's the entire sum of the Bible? To love God and love others. This gifts ties in with the entire sum of the entire Bible. And so we tie this third word into the gifts God gives us, and we realize some important things. So God hasn't given us gifts to impress others. Wow, I have this, and I want others to be impressed with me. I remember when I was just a young doofus, and I used to think, man, it must be awesome to be the preacher and have everybody just come by at the end of the service. Man, great, that was great. Man, that was great, that was great. Boy, God taught me that real quick. You know, no. It's not there for you to be looked up at. It's there for you to get dirty and to serve. It's there for you to actually get out of the stands on the field and to serve others. Not that people can say, wow, I'm impressed. Knowing that it's a gift and it's service also helps us to know that it's not to make us feel better. Oftentimes I even hear the experts on the radios, well, we're to forgive others that makes us feel better. That's not the purpose of forgiving others. The purpose is to glorify God and to obey Him. You may feel terrible obeying God and forgiving others. You may wish you could take a baseball bat and whack them in the head, but you're obeying God. It's not so we can feel better, though right feelings do come from right actions. But that's not the purpose. And notice this, God didn't give us a gift so that we can benefit from it. It's a service. It's so that somebody else can benefit from what I do for them. So our life focus is to give away our gift to others. Now let me ask you a question. Christmas is coming soon, right? And the goose is getting fat. You should put a feather in the old... Well, I'm sorry. Is that the song? In the old man's hat or something? I have no idea what that song means. But anyway, just do it, okay? It's Christmas. What do you do when you buy a gift? Anytime. What's in your heart when you buy a gift for somebody? Do you throw it in the closet and say, man, I hope it never comes when I can give it away to them? Are you anxious? Isn't there sort of an anxiousness when, boy, I found that perfect sock for my husband? Although when I get running socks, I jump for joy. But anyway, there's an anxiousness of, man, I can't wait to get him. What are you looking forward to doing? Watching him? There's just a joy in giving. God gave us a gift to serve, and there's a joy to give it away. Do you know what else is there a joy? We should be excited because there are times when we need others to give us their gift. Right? We need others. In fact, I just saw back there that Amanda walked in the door and I saw my wife hug her. That's a gift? Showing mercy and grace. It's just there are times when we need somebody to use their gift for us. We need somebody to say, it's going to be okay. You know, it's going to be all right. And so this is a key word. We are servants. Servants. There is a fourth word. It's the word activities. The King James is the word operations. Same word. It's the word energema. Energema. In ergema. Let me get that right. But notice in verse number 6. There are varieties of activities or operations, but it's the same God who empowers. Not exactly the same word, but the root word is the same. The empowers is the same as activities, which we get our English word from let me get this right. Energema, that's right. It is the word what? Energy. energy. Spiritual gifts are God-given energy. God's power energizing the members of the church so that it has a spiritual accomplishment or a spiritual effect. That's another key word. It is energy from God. In other words, something worthwhile is going on in this place. And that something worthwhile is you. Each day, each week, without end. No, but the church never does anything. We have to throw that in the garbage. It is every one of us, each day, each week, without end, using our gifts. We don't have to wait for an organized call a friend night. And we already went through that. You can call a friend. You can send an encouraging email. You can invite somebody out to encourage them. I remember at a community group one night when, you know, Rhonda was really praying. We've been praying for a job and she didn't get it. And nobody said a word, but I saw Portia get up and give her a hug. And I knew exactly why she was hugging her. Or I think I'm right, right? Yeah. And I didn't say anything, but I saw it and I said, that's awesome. That's awesome. Portia didn't say, Pastor Tim, I can't encourage Rhonda because we don't have a Friday night encourage our believers night. When's the church going to organize that? Isn't that silly? But would you be honest? Don't raise your hand. But sometimes do we not wait for that kind of thing? I'm probably guilty. And so it's just awesome. So there's great worthwhiles going on here because God's doing some amazing things. Other last key word is the word manifestation, which I believe that's what the King James says as well in verse 7, chapter 12, verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Why? For the common good. It is the word phanerosis, which is the word which has to do with revealing himself. In other words, the Spirit of God gives us a gift for all these things. But when you use your gift, God manifests himself. God shows himself in his glory in creation. We had Noah and Anna over the weekend. And I was in the kitchen, locking myself in there. And I went up to the counter, and there was a cardinal right there by the window. A woman cardinal. That would be a gray one, right? And so I said, Anna, look here. And I held her up. I said, bird. And it's just, wow, that's amazing. I mean, it was like right there. Beautiful. And then I saw two red cardinals come. God shows himself in his creation. The heavens declare what? The glory of God, and the firmament shows forth his handiwork. The spiritual gifts uses the same word. When you and I serve each other, you know what people see? God. They see God's love, God's mercy, God's power, God's forgiveness, God's grace. That's how it works. Christians loving, serving one another. In fact, chapter 1 of Corinthians, verse 31 says, as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. So there's a quick explanation of spiritual gifts. Secondly, we want to talk about grace gifts given. Given. We've kind of already highlighted that. And I have several verses written down. And we've already seen verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. It's given. And I have like 6 or 7 verses written down here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, 8, 9, 11, 18, 24, and 28, which repeatedly says, it's given, it's given, it's given, it's given, it's given. We must understand that these grace gifts are given. They are given of God. You know, I was thinking about this the other day because I can remember with my kids, you know, growing up, you have birthday gifts, right? And Christmas gifts. And I guess in a child's life, it almost gets to the point where it's no longer a gift. It's what? Expected. It's my birthday. You owe me this. Now, none of us are standing up here like, I never did that, right? Are we all sinners like our own kids? You know, so I make sure they know, no, this is a gift. You don't earn it. In my opinion, on the children's birthdays, the parents ought to get the gifts, right? Do I hear an amen? You know, we ought to get a gift, right? I mean, If it weren't for us, you ain't going to be here to enjoy this wonderful world, right? And you get to know God, right? So sometimes those are seen as, well, I'm here, you owe me. And what about this thing with giving tips? I mean, I used to work in an airport for years, and I would get tips. But we didn't have this 15% rule. Is it 15 or 20 now?
Either.
Either or. I mean, to me, if I'm moving your $25 million jet and I didn't run it into a $5,000 airplane, you better slap me some cash. But no, I didn't have that attitude. It was a gift. Now, I'm not saying that I didn't ever sometimes think, wow, where's my tip? You know, I could tell you some tip stories. One time I got a big round ball of beer. They used to call them party balls, you know. The Little Debbie company came in, and I didn't take it. Okay, let me paraphrase that. Fix that. I mean, I've gotten Little Debbie sandwiches. I've gotten money. I've gotten the weirdest stuff you can ever imagine. But sometimes tips are now, well, you owe me. And your waitress or waiter can be sidetracked, checking her Facebook. Yeah, what do you want? Hold it a second. Oh, there's a picture of a dog on Facebook. But you got to give them the 15% because it's no longer a gift. It's part of the bill, right? Not with gifts. We have to never forget, this is something God has given me that I need to thank Him for and to receive it with thanksgiving. It's from God, not us. And if we understand that, it'll help us to not be arrogant. It'll help us to not be critical of others who have different gifts and different levels of gifts. We'll get to it in a minute. We'll not wish everybody was just like us. We're all different. It should help us to be eagerly anxious to use the gifts because they're a gift. Do you ever get a gift? It's funny sometimes to watch your kids when they're younger to get a gift. Grandma and grandpa come over. What's the first thing those kids do? Oh, well, I'm thinking, yeah, what'd you bring me? I'm thinking of the other way around. That's true, too. But I see our kids go get their gift they got, and they want to show somebody. You know, I want to show somebody. Well, you ought to, man, I want to use my gift, not for selfish reasons, but to give it away. And to use it humbly. So grace gifts are given. Thirdly, grace gifts, if they're given, need to be received. Okay? We receive them. Okay? Do you know that one gifted believer not working or using his or her gift will result in the church not being as effective as it could be as God designed it? All it takes is one. Joe has a beautiful truck sitting in his driveway. That sucker's got 6 wheels, right? 6 wheels. Listen. When your vehicle has 6 wheels, you have really made it. 6 wheels. Of course, when you got to get new wheels. But anyway, they look so cool. I mean, he turns that diesel truck on. It's awesome. You ever hear a diesel truck? I mean, you turn a regular truck on, but a diesel. I mean, it's just like, I am a man. I love diesel trucks, man. Before I die, I want a diesel truck. Okay. Their exhausts are like this big. Our exhausts are like this big. It's just awesome. But that big, bad, beautiful truck that can haul all kinds of stuff is sitting in his driveway and can't go anywhere because of a gasket. A gasket. How big's a gasket? I don't know. Yeah. Compared to the truck. But the truck is sitting there because one part is broke. You know, many times churches never arrive where God intended them to, because there are parts that are broke and there are parts that aren't serving. And I know sometimes there are other issues involved with that, but we're sitting in the parking lot broke. Grace gifts are to be received by every one of us each day, each week, without end. Look at Ephesians 4. And a lot of this we saw in another message, so we'll be able to just kind of highlight these here in just a second. But because I think in our world today, we have become accustomed to being spectators in sports, sometimes spectators in a church, sometimes spectators in your job. It's easy just to buy the ticket and sit in the stands and not really get down on the field, right? But the Bible doesn't teach that for believers. Ephesians 4, verses 7 to 16, letter A on your outline. Each believer is given grace which out of that grace flows gifts. Okay, did I miss something? Or here, here we go. Should be up there. All right. Every believer has grace from which flows their gifts. That's a better sentence, I think. So we have to understand that. Every single one of you who are born again today has been given grace, a grace gift. And out of that grace flows your particular gift. And we're going to highlight those at the very end in a unique way, which I think will really make it easy. In fact, look in Ephesians 4, verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, I believe that's talking about salvation, but the context here is also spiritual gifts. And I think both of those things are absolutely true. So we start out knowing right away, you were not left out. Did you grab that truth? As a saved member of God's church, you were not left out. Have you ever been left out? Doesn't it feel good? I can remember as a kid, and I don't know why, but one year at Christmas, we went to my grandfather and grandmother's house. They're in Johnson, Indiana. It's a huge town. There's one house. No, I don't know how many, but it's a small town. My parents both grew up there, not very far apart. And my aunt, who's up here. And I loved going and visiting there. I just loved it. Well, I'm not sure why we went there, but maybe the heat went out. I'm not sure. But we were up there one Christmas. And we went over to the little church just down from the house. And I'm thinking it was Christmas Eve. I could be wrong. So I remember in this church, there was all these kids. All of these kids were there. And I don't remember anything else that much went on. We probably sang some songs and stuff. But then a guy came out dressed like Santa Claus. Do you see how I said that correctly? Because Santa Claus doesn't live there. He lives somewhere else. So a guy came out dressed like Santa Claus. And he's handing out kids to... Kids? No. He's handing out gifts. Yeah, here, have this kid. He's handing out all these gifts to all these kids. And I was sitting near the back, and I'm sitting there, you know, just a little punk kid. Well, I'm not going to get anything because I don't live here. These people don't know me. Boy, these kids are so excited. Suddenly, you know what they called out? Tim Garrett. What? Me? What? I remember going up, I got a gift. And I wished I still had it, and it may be somewhere, but I got a little matchbox truck that was like a coal truck. It was blue and had the coal in the back. And, oh, my truck. You know what my thought was? I wasn't left out. I got a gift. I want you to know today, God has not left you out. Did you see that verse? To each one of us. And there are several other verses as well. Each one of us. Nobody has been left out at all. In fact, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, 11, 1 Peter 4, 10 talks about that. And do you know this includes children who are saved? It was neat last night at the bonfire, soup out. I want to say this. Those soups were amazing. And I want all those recipes. They were absolutely, because I'd put a little in my bowl. I'm just going to sample this one. And then I would fill that bowl up. They were absolutely amazing. So there, we have the best cooks in the world. They were just tremendous. But Anna was crying because all the kids were down at the little play section about 18 miles away from the fire in the dark. I kid you not. And they're all playing. And then I went down there and I said, hey, you want to get your face painted? And they all went running up there. We're going to get our face painted. But Anna didn't run up there. So Anna's now, my friends. And so she's up there all by herself and just crying. Ah, my friends. And I saw Jessica go up to Anna and say, oh, Anna, and grab her, you know, kind of put her arm around her and care for her, showing mercy. The other night we had the grandkids, and I realized this one's not the greatest illustration because, you know, most of the time when you're two, you're not saved. as far as, you know, I think you're covered by grace. But anyway, Anna kept jumping on the bed. So I said no, so I had to give her a little love tap on the bottom. And with Anna, it's awesome because her mouth is this little when she's regular mouth, but when she frowns, it gets this big. Oh. And all of a sudden that lip went, Papa spanked me. First time ever. And boy, she's crying. And Peyton is sitting up on the couch. It was a blow-up bed they were jumping on. And, oh, Anna, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. She's just showing mercy. And then Anna, she walked off into the kitchen. There's old Peyton just following her. Anna, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Do children get it? Yeah. Children. How about new saved people? Yeah. How about the elderly? You say, well, I don't know. I'm 65. Is that elderly? I got to be careful here. If you think you're elderly and you're saved, you got a gift. All right? Bunch of old folks. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Hey, look at me in the mirror. That's right. I mean, look at me in the mirror. That was dumb. Look at me. How about uneducated people in the church? You know? I mean, how about somebody who comes in and they're just so plain, so simple. Do they get a gift? Sure enough. How about you? Yes. Every believer gets grace. From that flows their gift. Second thing, every gift's important. Look at verse 7 here, Ephesians 4:7 again. According to the measure of Christ's gift. Now this and the next point flow closely together. I probably could have made them one, but I didn't. I want you to see that word 7 there, verse 7. Well, let's put that point up there, because I think I'm going to flow these together. Number 3, every gift is different in measure. These two go together. Every gift is important, and every gift is different in measure. Look at that verse 7 again. Each is given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. The Greek word is metron. We get our word what? Meter. Metered out. So we find out here, and again, this is the context of spiritual gifts. When you're saved, you get all the grace you need. Everybody gets the same grace. But in spiritual gifts, that gift is measured out fully. Spiritual gifts are measured out with a measuring cup, so to speak. And so it's important, and there is a good measure. In other words, let's explain this. God gives each of us, a gift that A, is important, but or two, and three, it is measured out differently in each one of us. And this is so important. We have to understand that whatever gift God gave to us, is exactly the measure of that gift He wants us to have for His people in the church. Okay? Very important to understand. So we have to understand from this that all of us don't have the same measure. All of us are not the same. All of us are not as proficient or successful with the same kind of gift, using it. There are different measures that God gives. In other words, let's try to make it a little more easy to understand. Let's say you have the gift of evangelism, and person B does, and person C. Among A, B, and C, God may measure out different levels. Let's say you have the gift of teaching, different levels. The gift of mercy, different levels. The gift of serving, different levels. And it's so important for us to understand, I have a gift that's grace. I have a gift that's important to God for His people. And my gift, whatever measure God poured into me, is exactly the measure God wants me to have. So, the practical implication is this. Be thankful for the measure you got. Right? It's like a lady in Illinois that used to make me pumpkin pie, and she left sugar out. Now, Diane Denton can make sugar-free desserts that's just as good as you would think the sugar's there. And I think Amanda's learned how to do that too without sugar. Of course, Dave sometimes says, I can't eat that. So anyway. Ooh, you didn't put in the sugar. Sometimes you might think, God, why did you leave the sugar out of me? Now, some of you are downright ornery and mean, and maybe you don't have the sugar. Now, the bees have a lot of honey, but your last name ain't bee. Okay? So we got to understand, God, I'm not like that person. But I'm thankful for the measure you gave me. And that measure is important for your people in this church. So I'm going to be faithful in using my metered out portion. Here's a big one. You ever compare yourself to other people? I got to tell you, I can listen to preachers, some of my favorite preachers, and I can read some of their books, and I can read some of these books from these guys in the 1500s and 1600s, and I read those and listen to those guys, and I just say, I'm quitting. A, I don't know anything in the Bible compared to those guys. B, how do you talk so flowing? How is it so good? And God says, Tim, what are you doing? I didn't give you that measure. I gave you the measure. I want you to have it. You be faithful. You work at it. You grow in it. But you use my measure and be faithful. Stop comparing yourself to other people and their gifts. Because what's going to happen to you? You going to ever find anybody that's better than you? More gifted? Has more fruit than you? Gets frustrating, doesn't it? It's frustrating. So this implication is, you know what, God? Thank you for the sugar you poured into me. Thank you for the measuring cup that you measured out for me. According to the metron, the measure of Christ. It's all for God's grace. Now, number four, moving on. Grace gifts are to be used. Okay? They are to be used. And again, we're in Ephesians 4. We've looked at a lot of this one in another message. But first of all, the purpose. The purpose of using our gifts. And we've highlighted some of this, the purpose. And if you look in chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 11 and 12, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry for building up the body of Christ. So first point here, we're going to categorize these, first of all, into leaders or elders or pastors or shepherds, because that's what the first verse is talking about. What is their purpose? Leaders are to use their gifts to equip or build up the saints, for the building up of the saints. They are trainers. They are shepherds. They teach. They instruct. They help guide, but they don't do everything. This same word here for build up is used in the New Testament in Mark 1:9 for the word mend. When they threw out their nets, the fish would break the nets, so they had to mend the nets. So leaders' jobs are to mend the sheep and to help them to put it back together. It is also used in Hebrews for the word framed. God framed the world. See the idea of putting it together to work. Galatians 6:1, ye who are spiritual, restore. Same Greek word. So we get the idea. Leaders, elders, pastors, shepherds, bishops, are to use their gifts to mend people, to frame them, to restore them so they can be used. Make sense? That's what you did to a net. God made the world to be used. Galatians 6:1, we restore people who are caught in sin to be used. That's the leader's job. To teach, to model, to counsel, encourage, confront, to help people, to train them to be used, not to do everything. Secondly, members, that's the second category, the saints are to use their gifts to do the work of service. Look in verse 12. Let's make sure this is Bible. So we add verse 11 again to equip the who? The saints. Who are the saints? Those are the believers. For the work of the ministry to do what? Both of them, to build up the body of Christ. So the members who are gifted with the measure that is needed and is important and not to compare with others are to use their gifts and do the work of service. See, it's a beautiful plan. Up here, there's training and there's all those things, preparation, and the members take their gifts that God has given them and they use them for the work of the ministry. So that removes this philosophy. Me give? Well, that's what we pay the preacher to do. Me teach, me serve, me, that's what we have the elders to do. Wrong. That doesn't mean we sit around and do nothing. But when you divide it like the scripture does, members are to be busy bees. That was good, wasn't it? And that was the pattern of the early church in Acts. The apostles trained them. You see the members out there witnessing and sharing Jesus. Each of us has a responsibility to use our gifts for the building up of one another, for the encouraging of one another every day, every week, without end. It's so cool. I was thinking of this. You know, I think this change for hope thing is such a neat idea. It's such a neat idea. You know what? That wasn't my idea. One of you came up with that idea and shared it with me. Now, I might have come up with the name because I thought it was kind of cool. But it wasn't my idea. It was one of you that came up with that idea. And other of you have great ideas. You know, just that's how it works. It's an awesome plan. Now, before we move on to the results, this is a sobering thought because this is, puts a heavy responsibility on us, doesn't it? God expects me to what? God expects me to be busy. God didn't expect any of you to do everything. And in fact, when I was sharing with Kenny and Dottie at the house the other night, we're just kind of going over the Thanksgiving banquet, I said, use and employ as many people as you can. Because I want you two to be able to enjoy that banquet as well. I don't want, you know, use gifted people because I don't want you to be so stressed and have to do everything to where it's just a night of stress. I want you two to be able to sit back and just to watch God's people and enjoy it as well. So we use people, and there's a heavy responsibility on us, but we don't have to do everything. Each of us has to make sure we don't engage in activities that may disqualify us from using our gift. Do you know that husbands, you're to use your gift for your wife? And so since mine is teaching, I teach her all the time. Now, she teaches me a lot too. Husbands, you... What was that? No, she's kind of got her head down. I'm going to slap him when I get home. Husbands, what's your gift? Do you ever build up your wife with the gift? Wives, what's your gift? Do you ever build up your husband? Do you encourage and show mercy to everybody else? But boy, your husband, look out. Do you ever think about that, wives and husbands? It's a good reminder for me. It's a good reminder for all of us. Is your wife a member of the body of Christ? Use it. In fact, you can use these to help unbelievers as well. Parents, use your gifts for your children. Children, of course, they're not here, many of them. They can use their gifts to help their parents. Some of our teens are here. You can use your gift, you're born again, to build up your parents. And I think all children ought to have the gift of encouragement. I think that teenage child ought to walk home and say, Dad... Or whatever, the walk home, they can get driven home. Dad, you're just the greatest preacher ever. Dad, I am so glad that God, Mom, birthed me into your house. I don't want to be in any other house. I don't want to be on that mansion on that other road. One of my friends at school got a brand new car for their 16th birthday. Dad, I'm glad you can't even buy me a bike. I'm so thankful. You know, just encourage Mom and Dad, you know, whatever it is. Children, use your gifts to encourage Mom and Dad. Do you know that there's a lot of times when if I play a song or if I preach a message and I'll turn to my wife, and I don't do this every week, but did that make sense? Did that make sense? Because sometimes I don't have a clue. Because I want to know from her. There's just something about me that it's important for me to know that she got it. And usually she says, well, I'm not going to tell you what she says. Usually it's, yeah, that makes sense, yeah. So it's very, very important implications. Now, what's the result of using these gifts? What's our result as we travel through? We're getting close. And again, we've looked at these with our elders, and it's the same thing. And this... First of all, in verse 13 of Ephesians, the church becomes unified and loving. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. People are using their gifts. We become unified and loving. We don't have time to bicker. We don't have time to complain. Not that you can't ever bring up important issues. Please don't misunderstand that. Please, you can bring those up. Don't misunderstand that. But it's so neat that when God's people are really busy loving and serving, a lot of times those petty things just aren't important. So please understand, if something is important, you can come to any of us. Please do that. But that's the result in verse 13. Notice another result. Let's see if there's anything left out here. Secondly, the church becomes mature and wise, verse 14. We're no longer children tossed to and fro. We become wise. We have God's wisdom. That's the result of everybody serving. Thirdly, we become effective and successful. Verses 15 and 16. Speak the truth in love. And we grow up in every way into Jesus. We become mature in Christ because He's the head. The whole body is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. Verse 16. When each part, notice that each part is working properly. And remember, one little gasket can ruin it. Makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We are loving each other. We are learning to love the lost. And we are serving. And something's going on here. We are effective and we are successful in ministry. And many times numerical growth will follow this as well. So here is man's philosophy is, I want to use something to entertain me that I get something out of it. God's philosophy is, I'm going to use my gift to help others grow, to get closer to the faith, to be unified, so that they can be more like Christ, and so that God may just enable us to be such a manifestation of His glory that the unbelieving world out there says, man, what do they have? I want what they have. Now, the last point, grace gifts expressed. Okay? How do you express these gifts? You know, it's interesting. What do you think the most important thing is in this whole topic? If you'll notice that I've mentioned a few, but we haven't spent a lot of time on trying to describe the gifts, have we? But we're going to list some, which I think you'll enjoy at the end. Some of you have been in my class before on this, and it's a great something to remind ourselves of. You know what the most important thing is? Love. Do you know that in 1 Corinthians 12, it's talking about gifts? Do you know what the next chapter begins with? 1 Corinthians 13? Love. It's love. Now, when Paul wrote that, there were no chapter divisions or verses. So he's writing about everybody has a gift. Use your gift. Each one's important. And his next word and thought was, if I give my life to be burned, 1 Corinthians 13, 1. If I do great and mighty things, if I'm awesome, but if I don't have love, what? It's nothing. So in the context of spiritual gifts, Paul says, the most important thing is in the spirit of love and the spirit of humility. Somebody said this. When you get to heaven, God is probably not going to hold you accountable for knowing precisely your gift, but He will hold you accountable for what you did for the body of Christ and how you did it in love. Have you found in your own life that sometimes it's easy to actually do what you're supposed to do, but you're not doing it in love? Ooh. Guilty. Anybody else guilty? Guilty. And that's why this is so important. I can preach a message, but boy, I don't have to do it in love. We could go down the list. Very important. Chapter 13. It is in the context of love. Love, love. Now I want to show you an example here that I had heard years ago. Let's put up the next slide here, which I think hopefully ties it all in. Now, is there anything worse than having an apple pie hit the floor? There's nothing worse, other than maybe a raisin pie or M&Ms to just go all over the place. But I had heard this years ago, and I thought, boy, this just makes it so clear about gifts. And I've used it, and I'll continue to use it. But so what we're going to do is, and we're almost done, we're going to lay out a little scenario of you are invited over. Let's just say it's your community group, or you've been invited over to somebody's house, and you've eaten this huge turkey with dressing and gravy and cranberry sauce shaped like a can. doesn't that make you hungry? Wow. And somebody brings the dessert, this apple pie, and on their way over from the counter, they trip and they spill the apple pie. And I just noticed there's a bunch of glass on the ground too. That must be the plate. Now, here's the question. How do you respond? And don't answer out loud. But first of all, before I show you these, what do you think would be your first response? Now, you're not carrying the pie. You're sitting around the table. What do you think your first response would be? I hope it's not, you big doofus. Now, we know what it is when you're in your house. I can't believe you did that. But when you're in somebody else's house, what is your response? Which it ought to be the same, I know. What do you think it would be? Now, these, I think, are so awesome because it just lays it out. So that's the scenario. Let's say, and don't click them until I give you the point, Stephen. Let's say that God has given you the gift of serving. And sometimes it's called the gift of helps. And I really think most of the body of Christ, if not all of us, have this. But some have it to different measures. And this is a gift which just, it's just, they just want to get their hands dirty. They want to help you change your oil. They want to do whatever it takes, rake your leaves. It's just helping. Get the idea? It's just serving. If that's you, this might be your response. You might say, let me help you clean it up. Is that you? The very first thing that comes to your mind is not anything else but, oh, let me help you clean it up. That might be a great indication that what God has truly gifted you with, not that everybody can't help, is the gift of serving. All right? Click the next one. Let's say that maybe God has given you the gift of teaching. Now, what do you think your response would be? All right? Click it.
Well, the reason that it fell is that it was too heavy on one side.
Is that you? Guess who that is? That's me. I mean, my kids could be there crying and blood spilling out everywhere.
Well, the reason why you got to cut is because the knife shouldn't have been open on this end and you should have been carrying that end. I'm dying, Dad!
Listen, I got to explain it first. That's me. I got to work on that. That's just me.
Do you see how it works?
Because God geared you that way. Not that you don't leave out the other ones. And that's just me. And my son doesn't know it, but that's him too. He doesn't know that, but that's him. I can listen to him, and that's what he does. Well, the reason, blah, 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 I'm going, blah. Now, you can channel that in awesome ways. All right, here's the third one, exhortation. The Bible gives this gift, exhortation, which is the gift of encouragement. It's the gift of counsel, coming alongside. Parakletos is the Greek word. It's coming alongside. So if this is you, you might say this. You know, next time, let's serve the dessert with the meal. Just an encouraging exhortation. Is that you? Okay, the next gift the Bible talks about is the gift of giving. And again, measured out in different ways. That just might be you. You know, you might think, man, I can't teach and I can't change oil. My hands are, I'm two, what do they call it? Two left thumbs or two left faces? I don't know what that is. Anyway, in other words, you can't do much. But God has given you the ability to give and the means to give. Not that all of us shouldn't be giving. So the dessert has hit the floor. Your response may be this. I'll be happy to buy a new dessert. That's just you. That's your gift. I'll be happy to buy a new dessert. And I'll buy it with a Nerf plate so it'll bounce. All right? Here's another gift the Bible talks about. Ruling and administration. This is a person that has the ability to schedule things out, to see the overall picture, to kind of get people in place. So the pie has hit the floor, and you don't care about cleaning it up. You don't even care about a new pie. You don't, which, shame on you. And you don't care about, you know, what we're going to do next time. This may be your response. Jim, would you get the mop? Sue, please help pick it up. And Mary, help me fix some of the dessert. Now, they did fix the dessert, but see how the administrator, the ruler's mind works? Now they just naturally flow to, Jim, you do this. Sue, you do this. Mary, you help me fix it up. That's ruling. That's administration. They're just gifted in that area. And there's one more the Bible talks about. And I don't think the Bible necessarily gives us all the gifts. But we do have these basic ones. The gift of mercy. The pie has hit the floor. And you're not really that concerned about cleaning it. You're not that concerned about the other issues. But you have the gift of mercy. And the first thing that comes out of your heart is this. Don't feel badly. It could have happened to anybody. See that? See how it works? You just don't care about the pie. Your heart immediately just focuses in on that person's got to feel terrible that the pie fell down. You're like the Jessica last night. Oh, Anna, it's going to be okay. Your heart just naturally flows to that. Now, we don't have all these up at once, but can you see how it works in a church? Every need gets met. Maybe you're not showing. Maybe you're not big on mercy, but you're to be merciful. but somebody fills that gap. That's how it works. Now let's land the plane. John MacArthur, in his book on the body dynamic, shared a story. Back in when the St. Paul's Cathedral in London was being built, Sir Christopher Wren, W-R-E-N, was walking through the cathedral. And he, I guess, was the head dog in charge. And he was walking through, and people were building and chipping away. And so he asked this question to the workers. He said, "What are you doing? Hey, what are you doing?" The first workman replied, "Well, I'm cutting the stone to the right size." He walked a little further. He asked the second man, "Hey, what are you doing?" He said, "Hey, I'm earning money." He came to a third worker, and he said, "What are you doing?" And the man paused, and he said this, "I'm helping Sir Christopher Wren to build St. Paul's Cathedral." Do you see a difference in those answers? I'm cutting a stone. I'm making money. I'm helping you build this temple. You know, as I read that, I thought, you know what? Sometimes I'm flat out guilty of this. If somebody were asking me, "What are you doing?" Well, I'm preaching messages. "What are you doing?" I'm teaching a class. "What are you doing?" I'm greeting people at the door. "What are you doing?" I'm typing a bulletin. "What are you doing?" Well, I'm watching kids in the nursery. "What are you doing?" Well, I'm helping in children's ministry. "Hey, what are you doing?" Well, I fix things for people in the church. "Hey, what are you doing?" Well, I send cards of encouragement. "Hey, what are you doing?" Don't we at times need to kind of backtrack and say, "You know what I'm doing? I'm helping my Lord and Savior build His church." Right? You ever get like me sometimes? I'm just doing things. And we forget. And we talked about this in our community group, and I appreciated people's honesty. And they said, "You know, when it's my day to sit in the nursery, I want to be in here." I appreciate that. Because if I was in the nursery, I'd want to be in here too. And I really believe it. I mean, I appreciate that because they want to be with the family, and they want to be under the Word. And I'm not in any way critical of that at all. And we try to encourage in that area. And sometimes I need it, and we all need it, to say, "You know what? God gave me a gift. What are you doing?" I have the privilege of helping Jesus build His church with the measured gift I got, whether it's in Squamish, Canada, or Evansville, Indiana, or wherever. It kind of changes your whole spirit, doesn't it? I'm not just sitting in the nursery, and I thank God for our nursery workers because, I don't know, I've been there. I thank God for all of our workers. What are you doing? One last slide. You know, we have a lot of people today that, you know, we come to church and we sit in the stands. We call those what? Spectators. But we've learned today with our gift that God has given us a gift, a spiritual gift, that's to serve others and to serve others out of love. You know what God says to us? Get out of the stands, get on the field, and serve, helping to build my kingdom with the measured gift that I've given you. Just get busy and serve. Don't wait for an organized visitation night. Don't wait. Just serve and love others. Whatever your gift is, mercy, grace, with that pie, just do it and love it and love others. Father, thank you for this reminder today. It is a privilege, Lord, to love you, to serve you, to walk with you. Thank you for the gifted people you've given Living Hope. God, just challenge us to get busy and to realize we're not just inviting people over. We're not just doing an activity. We get to be a part of helping Jesus, your Son, build His church. In Jesus' name.